So did everybody got a copy of the Eternal Self Preparing Awakening, etc.?
We certainly did.
Okay.
Yeah, loud and clear. Came right through.
Okay, well, that's next week if we get through everything this week, and the week after that if we don't. Or unless I add something. So, I asked my trusty cohort here and said, okay, if you've just heard all of this for the first time, do you think I should go over it again? And my trusty cohort said, well, it sure as heck wouldn't hurt. Would anybody like to sort of summarize real quick and maybe use different languages that I'm using such that you summarize the functional relationship between personal self, eternal self, and resplendent being?
Well, I'll give it a shot. The personal self creates the
eternal
self.
Hey, Andrew. Where are you calling from?
Cell phone in Alabama. It's my cell phone, but is it not loud enough?
No. I just saw it. It must be 11 o'clock in there, isn't it?
10 o'clock, yeah. 10 o'clock.
It was only 4 hours? Okay.
Yeah, only four.
Okay.
Well, let's see. It's not a thing.
So are you going to go ahead?
I think he disappeared.
I think we lost Andrew.
I shouldn't have asked him the question.
I guess he didn't pay his cell phone bill.
Well, let's give him a sec to see if he's going to come back on. Well.
Okay.
Who just dinged in? So it might have been him dinging out, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess if you are Patrick, you want to deal with that slightly?
Yeah, well, that was, I did it last week and it sounded like we're just doing a repeat.
Sorry,
that
guys. I lose calls out here for some reason. I don't have that problem in Hawaii, but here it drops calls, so that's what happened.
Okay. We were waiting for you.
Yeah, I was just saying personal self creates the eternal self, and the communion of eternal self and personal self emergent from that is the resplendent being. And that's what I got.
So what's the image of you that you have of all of that? Anything from what we've been saying?
It's interesting, Roger. I do actually have an image of that. I have like a personal being in a body, like a blue hand and a puppet in a body. And the activity, the mental actions, vibrations, the actions or vibrations of thinking and creating and of an eternal being, then like hydrogen, oxygen constituents, they interact, and an emergent of that is a resplendent, which is properties of the being that don't exist in either constituent part.
Okay, the question is this.
It's like, sure.
Did you ever hear of, let's call it the religious description, that God imaged man so that man could image God?
I never heard that actually ever.
It's actually pretty common. Then are we saying that the eternal self imaged a personal self so that the personal self could image the eternal self?
And that makes sense. Regardless of the religion, it makes sense.
Okay, well, just kind of keep that functioning in mind. So,
hey, Raj, yeah? If that's the case, Roger, right, if that's the case, then is there a resplendent being kind of an unexpected surprise of all this?
What would you
say? Not mentioned in the...
What would you say?
Yeah, I would guess it was unexpected. But there's something about that. It's almost like it's like the illuminated being. It's like the illumination of that function. It's
so okay. Do you want to put the two of these things together that I just said and draw any inference?
I don't. No.
If eternal self creates a personal self, so the personal self could create an eternal self, so that they could function together to create an illuminated, resplendent being or self. Is that reasonable?
That's fine, yeah.
Now put that together with, if God imaged or imagined, let's call it image, God imaged man so that man could image God, put the two of them together and what does that seem to imply?
The resplendent being imaged an eternal self that could image it.
How about that your eternal self and that is greater than any image you have of God?
That would make some sense, actually. That's interesting.
It's not a matter of that. Like from the 1970s, the little book Three Little Words, that you are God, in a sense, it says that as a resplendent being, in that you are, as Andrew just said, sort of a unexpected greaterness than God. Is that okay?
Yeah. And it would also, I guess, to me it would make a lot of sense, and I would have to expect or hope that there would be some understandings or awarenesses like that in such a condition.
So that everything you image of God is, let's call it for the moment in that structure, only an eternal self, but doesn't even extend to a resplendent self or resplendent being, does it?
No, so that would actually pose, I could see how that might pose some challenges talking about this to folks who can only imagine an eternal self.
But that's the point.
We probably have a really hard time actually understanding what you're saying.
But that's right.
That.
And it gets even worse than that. That's where I wanted to go tonight. If you've got that image or picture that you're willing to carry around with you, then the question is something about your life that we want to talk about. Is your life today in learning, growing, and developing, are you transfiguring or transcending? Actually, let's call what?
You said in learning, growing, in the effort of learning, growing, and developing, are we transfiguring or transcending?
Yes. Are you evolving, expanding, greatering, wisering, or are you just transfiguring?
I think I'm just transfiguring, in fact.
So the question is, would you rather transfigure or transcend?
think it's important to note that transcending tends, and for the most part, meaning overcoming.
Transcending means to rise above or go beyond or resolving or overcoming. Would you rather rise above or overcome yourself and life today, or would you rather transfigure yourself and life today?
Well, that seems an easy one. I'd rather transfigure.
Why?
That seems to be something that is expansionary, adding to me rather than overcoming anything about me, but adding to me.
But isn't that mean overcoming and being a bigger, better, greater, wiser you?
I mean, habitually, yeah, from my habitual thinking, it's a very tempting thing. I do get caught up in that as a, somehow that would be more desirable.
So, here is the question. Because the point of all of this is the very foundation of your life depends upon your image or feeling or sense of yourself. Do you sense yourself transcending or transfiguring, or which of those two would you rather sense about yourself and why?
Well, I think we lost Andrew again.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
But I heard it go ding ding. No.
Oh, may have. I don't. What is it?
I personally, that if when I see those paths that are available, I know the experience of transcending, and I know I've tried to transcend for a very long time, and it seems to have been unsuccessful.
Hey, do me a favor. Wait a minute. Do me a favor. I don't want you to pick something else because transcending didn't seem to work. Why don't you talk about the advantages or reasons or why or everything else you would rather transfigure than anything else?
That may be that the notion is unfamiliar, and I'm
well familiar
with through
what might be the implications of transfiguring.
Okay, I got one.
In the context that we've been talking about.
Wait. What context we've been talking about? I want to make sure I know.
Eternal self creates an image of a personal self that creates the eternal self so that they function together, and from that emergent is a resplendent being.
Okay, I got it. All right. I think that maybe because I think of transfiguring being something that I can do every moment, all the time right now, I see that as a advantage and a benefit to transcending, simply because if I want something in my life, I simply start doing that, and I know that eternalizes, and from that eternalizing emergent is other things I did not expect, which is sort of like transcending, but it's not, because it's totally in my doing of the moment, every moment.
Come on, let's get practical here.
Well, I thought that was the most practical thing I'd ever said to you.
How about this? If you're transcending, you ain't it. If you're transfiguring, then you must be it. You're just doing it in a different way.
Oh, that is a good point. Yeah, that is exactly the transcending thing. It's like it's beyond me.
So that you're not trying to get there. You already are there. You've just either denied it, lost it, forgotten it, blindfolded yourself to who you really are.
Or, Roger, if I understand the things we've been talking about over the last year or so, I may even have an awareness of who I am, but through transfiguring, I could completely recreate who I am or how I express.
However you want, but you haven't lessened yourself. If you're transcending, you have to a greater yourself from a lesser, and the lesser of yourself controls your life.
That's true, and that the lesser does control.
So if you're transcending, you're stuck fighting against the lesser without, let's say, the empowerment of the truth of yourself that you're merely merely transfiguring.
Okay.
So the question is, do you really believe in transcending? Which means rising above or going beyond or resolving or overcoming. Are matters in the universe actually growing and developing, evolving, transcending? Are things getting better or finer? Or are matters merely transfiguring?
I guess, in fact, they're transfiguring.
But you're just guessing. What would you choose to have? And why? Get involved.
Well, okay, Raj, my hesitation is I'm leaning towards transfiguring, but I'm thinking you're just going to say bullshit, so I hadn't said it yet.
See? You won't let your old beliefs go away. They're going to hang you up like a lead weight. Because you actually think, and you probably actually want to transcend. Anybody want to argue with me?
No, but I mean, I'll say that. Transcending seems to kind of, is a nice, tidy concept. It seems to take care of all the problems of just transfiguring.
No, transcending creates all of the problems. Let's go there.
Nah, how so? I don't follow that.
Because everything has to get better, bigger, other, greater, wiser, smarter, everything else. That's your whole story of your life. There's no...
You're saying if transcending is the issue, that it continually makes where I am insufficient?
Sure.
Well, I thought that I would know once I got there that that was the arrival.
But that's the point. Now you set a goal for transcending, and then you would know, but then, in that regard, you only created another goal for yourself, and then you struggle against that goal.
Raj, got a question for you. If I really transcend, then I can't imagine from where I am today what that would be like. So how would I know I'd set another goal?
You are the one that said you wanted to get there. I'm saying that if you get there, then you'd have to then set another goal to transcend to.
Well, I'm asking you, why at that point would it not be operating by a whole different set of things such that I may not need to set another goal? I can't imagine from here what the transcended situation would be like.
Do you think that life is...
I want to make my point. Just like the resplendent is all kind of unexpected things I can't imagine from where I am today, I'm thinking that the transcended state is the things about it I can't imagine from where I am. That's just a thought.
It doesn't merely make any difference by transcending. In that regard, have you not set goals and causes and images for you to transcend to, and then struggle to transcend to those images?
Currently, yes, indeed.
Maybe that's the cause, allow me that word there, of all your problems today.
Interesting.
Pat, you want to join in on this?
Yes, I can see that transcendence, that no matter how I come up and image it in my mind, that it is overcoming some kind of lack, some kind of smallness. I'm looking for something greater. I'm looking for peace, tranquility, whatever it is that I think is going to be derived from transcendence. So I'd always be waiting for the outcome.
And so you'd be waiting for the outcome, and then when you got that outcome, you'd have to set a new outcome to transcend to.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that I'll ever reach the outcome. And that's moot, that I'll always be struggling towards even the initial outcome. I may refine it a bit over time, but I don't think I'd ever get there.
The point of it is, you can't even set it.
Can't even wish it?
Set it. If you're going to set a goal to transcend to, what goal would you set to transcend to?
Oh, a handful of them. Peace, tranquility, intelligence.
Crap. That's what everybody else says. You'd be bored to death with peace. And what good is intelligence unless you get out there and use it? Get involved. You're only talking about transcending the things that you're struggling with today. What if you are only transfiguring and you don't have to struggle against what it is that you are today?
The ultimate and begin again.
What if you think the universe is transcending, maybe so, what do you think it's transcending to?
Don't know, but it must be better than here.
You see?
Yeah.
So you're that's living the
line, right?
That's all of religion is all about, and that's all of your struggles in life. I don't know, but it's got to be better than this.
Yeah, we all seem to have an idea that if we're struggling here, that there must be... We seem to remember a place or time or a sense that there...
But you're only struggling here, maybe only because you think you are transcending. Take transcending out of your concept, and are there then any struggles in your life today?
No, actually everything takes on a whole new look and sense of being pretty damn neat. That's really interesting. I never caught that. Damn.
The ever-changing universe is an ever-transfiguring universe. And you, being alive in the universe, are an ever-transfiguring being as well. Life is not evolving, it is transfiguring. Do you really think that birds evolved from dinosaurs?
What would be the problem with that?
What?
I don't understand what would be the problem with that. It seems to be fine enough.
Why? So we have this 2-ton dinosaur, and transcending from that is a 1-pound bird. Is that okay? An Aviopteryx evolved from Sue. Is there anything that makes sense in any of that?
Mm, I don't know either way, honestly. I mean, I suppose over time, certain genetic selection could lead to a I don't know if it's transfiguring, but a change of form.
But that's transfiguring. Has nothing to do with transcending. Are birds better than dinosaurs? Are bitty birds...
No, I'm just taking evolving to be the changing of the form, the DNA structuring and recombining.
No, you're not. You're trying to do that. Evolving means getting greater, bigger, better. Sure, it's changing form, but in the changing of the form, it is overcoming any defaults and becoming better and finer.
Well, I do think that's the way most people think of it, but actually I'm thinking of evolving from, not evolving to.
Evolving from it doesn't make any difference. Don't language the game with me. Evolving from still means getting better.
Okay.
Or getting away from the lesser. And your life is founded on, and your struggles are based on, just that problem. You okay with this?
Yep, I think so.
Are you okay with any of this, Patrick?
Yeah, because I've long held the image of evolving from meaning to evolve from simple
to a more complex system.
Yeah, and that evolve to be able to suit changes of environment, it's in one way or another overcoming and suiting itself. I've held a thing that life started with a single cell organism when lightning hit a bunch of seawater or whatever the hell, and that life has evolved from that single cell organism into a very complex set of organisms in this planet. So
sure.
It has been from simple to the more complex.
That's right. And this here. But can't you then say it transfigured?
Actually, I'm aware now as we're thinking that in some cases so-called evolution has gone from complex to simpler.
Wait. Why are we... God damn it! Why are we arguing or screwing around with language?
I'm not screwing around with language.
You
I'm
are.
Saying, in fact,
wait a minute. Stop everything we've said. For you. Would you... You're saying, oh, hell, I see things going from simple to complex, and from things from complex to simple, and changing and growing and evolving and etc. Don't tell me how everybody has described it. Which would you rather have? Would you rather be transcending or transfiguring?
I'd rather be transfiguring, and I'd rather have you listen to what I have to say sometimes.
Okay.
But saying that what is called evolving also goes from complex to simple, so that blows that whole notion out of the water.
It does not.
It does.
No.
If evolving is supposed to be going towards more complex, better, it doesn't always do that, so that it's one white crow, it's dead.
Would you rather transcend to lesser?
I would rather transcend or transfigure. Boy, I keep on mixing those terms.
That's right.
I would rather transfigure.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to get you out of, or Andrew and you both of it, no matter what you're saying, you're manipulating language to try to not get trapped in transcending or evolving. But I'm telling you right now, underlying everything you say, you are trapped in learning, growing, developing, evolving, and transcending.
Well,
don't think they understand what transfiguring is.
What?
I still don't think they understand what transfiguring is.
My.
Well, I think I have an image of transfiguring.
What does transfiguring mean?
I was going to tell you. It's what I am doing, living, constituting personally, appears in a different form throughout my life. And from that.
Wait, let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond that. Are you willing to say that you are a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous force in the universe, and that you are only transfigured as Andrew today?
You know, I hadn't actually. No, I mean, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I mean,
but that's what I'm talking about. This is where we're talking. This is where I'm coming from. Are you willing to?
Well, Roger, let me just tell you something. I so don't even consider that. I never go there, even when you ask me a question about it.
Wait a minute. What I'm trying to say is maybe you have been there, and the point of it is, why did you give up being there and being aware of that? I'm not trying to teach you anything. I'm trying to wake you up to who you already are.
Very interesting question you asked. That's interesting. I guess I gave it up I gave it up in thinking that maybe what I was talking about evolving and transcending was what was going on. I had to ask.
That's right. And so therefore, any concept of your being lesser, growing and trying to become in any form defeats you. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, what's really interesting to me is I feel like I'm looking back on a long line of dominoes that fell over, and I'm realizing that it all started with thinking that I had to transcend in the first place. That created the problem I've been trying to overcome. That's fascinating.
But even, that's right, and that's what I'm saying. And even if you look at it only in this lifetime, what if we look at it over, let's say, well, that person or thing that we call Andrew has been around for billions of years. Maybe this has been going on for so long that you don't even recognize it anymore.
Sure doesn't seem special, you're right.
But if this is a normal process of the universe, emergent stuff, why make you think that this might be the first time you've ever been here?
I don't know quite what that means, but I mean...
It means then that I'm not showing you anything new about yourself. I'm trying to get you to see the truth of yourself.
Well, how come I got so damn bogged down in where I am?
Because in assuming or taking on a body, you took on language, you took on the beliefs that everybody else had, you took on, you got to go along to get along. What? Why would you not assume that? Why do you think life is about you're going somewhere, you're getting somewhere, you're learning, you're growing, you're developing? What the hell makes you think life's about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting, I guess. Maybe, in fact, that's really interesting. I somehow so imposed that idea over everything. I thought that way, but I guess, in fact, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, my body... what grows up and gets older, but I don't read the
No, it just transfigures. It doesn't grow up. It's just a bigger, same body.
Well, that's what I mean by grow up, sizable. Okay.
Okay, so you've changed appearance.
Yeah.
But that's transfiguring.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
Was your body incomplete and now you've evolved to a complete body?
I'm sorry, I'm just like, my mind is like blown out a tire here for a second. I hadn't realized how much I think where I'm going somewhere that I forgot how much it doesn't make sense.
But that's what this is all about. And the point of it is, what I'm trying to do, and have been trying to do for 20 years, is to give you a, somehow or other, present or describe a different image of yourself in life. What that image may be is truly up to you, but you ain't going anywhere.
Sense. God.
How about you, Patrick? Are you going somewhere?
I got a question. Why ever did we decide to take on a human body in the first place?
Because you have tremendous advantages. Do you want to know what one of those advantages are?
You can know yourself as a particular.
You can know, that's one. You want to know another one?
Sure.
Without doing that as a personal being, you can't be a resplendent being.
Oh, damn, of course. Wait, got a question for you. Do I think I have a sense of a resplendent being? I guess I do.
You what?
I was just wondering if I even have an idea about this resplendent being.
Of course you don't. Because you won't let go of this evolving.
Wait, no. If I took on a body because without a body I can't do the resplendent thing, then that seems to imply that I have a knowledge of resplendent before I even take on a body.
Of course.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. So I do have that.
Or at least even of your eternal self. But it's kind of like properties of a resplendent being would be of no, you would not have that. You would not have the properties of being a resplendent being. You could be.
I gotta back you up here. I just had an image of this whole thing being as more of a, like a transfiguring cycle. I mean, all I'm saying is, the body, I didn't take it on necessarily as a form. I don't know how to say this. I've been doing the same thing over and over and over. The body was just a piece of it. Never mind, forget, I can't put that in words yet. Go ahead.
No, that, Andrew, actually, Andrew, that that it's it seems purposeful to take on the body.
Yeah.
So there must be some sense of what the benefits that might accrue from taking on a body.
I feel like maybe I just have an idea that maybe it was as exhilarating in some way as realizing resplendence. I don't know.
Maybe even if you don't recognize resplendence in that regard. Even if you don't do that, as we've said before, if you don't take on a body, then even as an eternal being, then you are stuck in only being an eternal being, which in a sense is nothing.
Hey, Rod, you got a question? Do you think that maybe taking on a body is simply a form of self-realization?
Of course.
Hmm.
Taking on a body is a way to expand yourself.
Yeah, it's just one form of transfiguration. It wasn't necessarily an evolutionary necessary step of getting somewhere else. It was one, what do you call it, self-replication, a one transfiguration.
Okay.
Realization.
It doesn't mean you're getting better, you're just transfiguring the way and the manner in which you are alive.
Right. That makes sense.
Whoever said that the universe is evolving or changing? To say that has to say then that in the beginning the universe wasn't enough, wasn't complete.
Right.
It was complete so as it was.
Right, taking on a body isn't a greater anything other to what I was before.
It allows you transfigurations of yourself that you don't otherwise have available to you.
Well, in that case, so does everything allow me transfigurations of myself.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe everything around you is only transfiguring. The world around you is only transfiguring. Is that okay? Not evolving, not growing, not getting wiser.
Right. Hey, so like transfiguring, the image I'm currently having of, or the, actually even the whole sense I'm having of transfiguring is, doesn't feel or seem or appear that different than self-replicating.
It isn't.
It isn't. Okay. I'm starting, it's all coming together here. Well, some of these things are. All right.
Is it possible then when I say give me a list of 8 things you are proud of and I'll tell you your eternal self, the eternal self is not something that's gooder or better or greater, it's just merely a transfiguration of the image that you are proud of.
Right, but through the transfigurations, I see and understand what the hell I am and what I'm doing.
But what we have to do most of the time is look at those things as good, better, best. And if I'm trying to look at, say, Karen's eternal self, if I'm saying, well, you know, look at that, what she does, that. Okay, I'll look at how great she must be. I've thrown it all away, haven't I? Should I not take what she's doing and look at that eternally as a transfiguration and know her in that way? Not good, better, or best.
Not good, better, or best, but maybe there comes a question. I may have is, okay, this is what's transfiguring, but is that the way this person wants to transfigure?
Of course. That gives you an option, doesn't it?
Right, but it doesn't change the transfiguring. It doesn't change the who. It doesn't change the what. It only changes the how they transfigure or how they self-transfigure.
Or what they transfigure to.
Alright, yeah, I guess. Why not? Transfiguring to isn't greater than transfiguring what you transfigured from.
That's right. Doesn't that takes all of the good, bad judgments and etc. out of the image, out of the picture, out of the concern.
Got it. Wow.
Got a question.
Okay.
I think it's context for me. But when you told us, at the gathering that we were there when it rained the universe.
Yep.
It's the eternal self that was there when the universe rained?
Well, there's two things that to go over. And one of those is it's still raining the universe.
Yeah, I thought of that.
And so, what do you see? All the raining of the universe, it means that it's constantly transfiguring.
Always has and always will.
Of course. So that you see, you begin to understand the danger of putting endings into your language.
Oh, yeah, that totally blinds you to what your awareness of what's really going on.
Because the whole transfiguring process is a never-ending, continuing transfiguring process. You don't die, you transfigure.
You know, it's interesting. I just noticed something. I mean, when we started the phone call, I was very relaxed and very enjoying what we were talking about. But as we just get into this view more and more, I realize there's a whole bunch of tension that just left my body that I didn't even realize was there. Very interesting view.
Are you willing to consider the possibility that you can't stifle your anger or rage? You cannot hold it in, and you cannot overcome your anger. You can't transcend your anger or your rage or your concerns or your doubts. But you can certainly transfigure your anger to passion and dedication. Do you begin to see the difference? What we're trying to do is to overcome, change, and overcome your problems. No! Overcome your judgments. No! Transfigure your judgments. Overcome your addictions. No! Instead of being addicted to alcohol, be addicted to living passionately. And all you've done in that is transfigured your addiction from alcohol to living passionately. Why, your addiction in that regard may be your strongest power. Overcome it. I depower you. Is this okay with you, Patrick?
It is very, very.
Makes sense of a lot of things, like overcome or try to overcome your image of God. You depower yourself.
That's right.
Even overcoming your judgments depowers you.
That's right.
Huh.
As someone once said, I was listening in. Someone that once said, "Well, it appears that you want to judge and judge and judge and judge and judge." Well, okay. Then how about judging in goodness?
Oh, sure. Just transfigure the whole
judgment
asset and dynamic that's going on there, yeah.
I judge you to be a great and wondrous person. I judge you to be finer than you ever thought of yourself. So when last, for a couple of weeks, we've been talking about an emergent reality, an emergent reality is not a transcendent reality, it's a transfigured reality. What does that mean?
It's a reality, that's a good question. I don't want to just say it's another form.
Okay, fine. Where in what we talked about in the last 2 weeks, where does transfiguring occur?
Where?
Yes.
Everywhere, doesn't it? True. The personal being creates the eternal being. It occurs there.
In a sense, that's true. Carry it further.
In doing that, the resplendent being occurs, and that's more transfiguring.
In what?
In doing that, the resplendent occurs, and that is more further additional transfiguring.
So emergent, then, transfigures everything that was in the personal self and the eternal self, simply because that which is emergent does not exist in the constituents.
Oh, I I see. It even rolls back on itself.
So no matter what you did or are doing or have failed to do or whatever, through the interaction between personal self and eternal self, that emergent of those constituents transfigures every aspect of those constituents.
Very good. Yeah, that's interesting.
Then my question to you is there anything that you could say in that emergent transfiguration that is not unconditionally forgiving, unconditionally loving, complete grace?
Interesting.
You still with us, Patrick?
Yeah, and this is introducing all kinds of mind-boggling thoughts.
Why mind-boggling? The mind-boggling is the crap shit that religion and our beliefs of language have created. That's so mind-boggling, I don't understand it.
How the hell did that ever happen? Yeah.
If all of this is occurring, then could you say, are you willing to say that your resplendent self is not a transcendent greater self? That it is merely and wondrously a transfigured self?
Yes. Does it also mean then that, I'll use this term, real, is the transcendent self my real existence and I can live and experience that?
And so instead of struggling with constituent of yourself today, you can see and begin to sense the transfiguring resplendent self. Is that okay?
That's
but you can't
really
live
okay.
But you can't live that.
That's the question I asked. Okay, I can sense it, but I can't live that.
You can't live that. You live the constituents so that the resplendent is emergent. You can't live it directly. You must fully live both the personal and the eternal. Is that okay?
That's okay.
You're sure that's
okay? More of...
You're sure that's okay?
Yeah.
So, does that mean then that if I give you, let's say, 43 practices that you might follow, the purpose of that is so that you might begin creating an active eternal self? Rather than hoping for an eternal self, you can create and activate an eternal self in order to have an emergent, resplendent self.
That's correct.
Right now, you live your daily concerns and hope for the best.
That's something very similar to that, at least, yes.
Or something very similar. Oh, I'm a spiritual being. Oh, I want to do this so God will give me my great wondrous self. And all of this is saying, look, hey, let's tap into the processes of the universe that are already there and apply those in yourself and life.
Again?
Last week we talked about the difference between a system and a process. And all I'm talking about is this whole emergent process is a normal and natural process of the universe. It's not a system. And you can tap into that and other processes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
when people talk about getting in harmony with the universe, they're talking about getting in harmony with some conclusion or some system. Get in harmony with that because this is what the universe is doing. There is no consequence per se. The universe is only a process.
Right.
What does that mean?
That means, it just means I followed it, what you're saying. That sounds consistent to me with what we've been saying.
Okay. You constantly believe and think one thing. You feel an attitude another thing. You constantly say something different. And then you act and react inconsistent with all of this. Yet you desire other than that from yourself. And experience yourself and life in an entirely different way. What the hell is going on? And since your body cannot act without you, the question is, are you living with a stranger doing all of these things to you, or is something else going on?
I don't think it's a stranger, but I don't have a way to talk about what else is going on. No.
Is your eternal self a stranger to you, yes or no?
It is if I'm not consciously living it.
Oh, then you are maybe living with a stranger.
Oh, okay, yes.
Maybe you're not only living with a stranger, but the way, the manner that you think and act and etc. as a personal being is different than you as an eternal self acts. Or think, or believe. Is that possible? Maybe your beliefs that you are so preciously concerned about are entirely different or other than Anno's beliefs. Is that possible?
I hadn't thought of that.
Who's in charge of your life?
I am.
Doesn't seem that way. Maybe then, if you think you're in charge, then you've made Anno a stranger. Come on, Patrick, you got to get back involved here.
Well, I'm just chuckling to myself about the implications of that. If I figure myself as in charge, that doesn't not at all mean that Masters is going to say, okay, I'll just go along with you.
Yeah, because what happens is that you and your body are constantly sensing and reacting. And you're doing that as a way to learn, grow, develop, and maybe in most cases, transcend. While you and yourself, as an eternal being, are constantly realizing and making real. Don't you think that in some way or another that would start creating a problem?
There seems to be some inherent conflict there.
And whatever it is that you sense the Masters realizing and making real, you defer to yourself, Patrick, in terms of sensing and reacting. You defer away from your eternal self.
Okay. attempt to sense and react according to a language understanding them.
And then in that you have forsaken your eternal self, and in that you have forsaken your emergent, illuminated, resplendent self as well.
Yes, most definitely.
The point of preparing yourself to make your eternal self active in your life is such that you're activating that self in your life, but more importantly, you are activating the emergent, resplendent self.
And that goes on no matter what, doesn't it?
But it leads to a constant struggle within you, because it goes on and you sense it, but you don't know what's going on. And so that sensing, well, life's got to be more, greater, bigger, other, different than this, is the big conflict in your life. Because then you try to do directly what you already are. And you claim yourself, well, that's not me, it's something else that I sent. And I'm saying, no, it's you, or was all along. You transfigured that out of your life. I'm trying to get you to transfigure that back into your life. We okay with any of this so far?
I believe so.
Transfiguring is not a moral or ethical matter at all. Has nothing whatsoever to do with morals or ethics or anything at all in that regard.
When we just say it's the function of the universe?
Sure. It's a process of the universe. And you don't have to have any special powers or unusual awarenesses.
Got to ask you a question here.
Okay.
Is it a process of the universe, or is it kind of more like the process of the universe?
No, I just allow it. Doesn't really make any difference. It's a process of the universe.
All right. Okay.
It may be a prime process for sentient beings, a vitally important process for sentient beings, but I would still only consider it a process.
Of course. All right. I see.
Have you ever considered that you and your body, in sensing and reacting and living by sensing and reacting? By the way, that brings me up to a point. Let me see if I can get this across. Do you understand that you transfigure all the time, every day, every minute of every day? Is that okay?
I do.
What?
Yep.
Explain that. Explain that to me so that I could have an image of what it is you think that means.
Every thought, every belief, every word, every breath, every action is transfiguring, is putting the constituents that, I don't want to say this too many times, what's the word? Something different formed in my life.
So that means that for every experience that you have, every event, you transfigure that into a belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, or an experience, or a desire.
Oh, right. It's, yeah, right. The experiences as well. Yeah.
So transfiguring is something you're doing all the time.
Yep.
Well, let's assume you have a belief, or a thought, or an idea. Don't you have to transfigure that in order to put it into memories?
Right. I was going to say, maybe transfiguring is the very act of being alive.
Oh. Maybe transfiguring is, in a sense, what this whole thing is about. When you have a concept and do something, you've transfigured the concept to a doing.
Yeah.
When you have a desire and do something, or feel a certain way, you've transfigured that desire into a feeling. And then you do something, and then you, in the doing of that, transfigure that into memories. Everything you do is a transfiguration.
Right. Everything I experience as well is a transfiguration.
Religion, maybe this is why the Pope quit today.
Isn't that strange? I wonder what you thought of that.
Religion has you believing that your desires and your power to transfigure as you desire is actually an act you must struggle against.
Really?
Doesn't it?
Did you say that one more time? Religion has you believing what?
That your desire and power to transfigure. Transfigure in, let's say, Christian religion, in that regard, Jesus was transfigured. They treat that as a something special, the change on him in that regard. But you're thinking that you could have the power to transfigure is something that you must struggle against your feeling that you have that ability.
Well, why? I'm not quite sure why I would struggle against it.
What? Because they
why
want you.
Quite why?
You want to. They religion wants you to be faithful, have faith, not for you to transfigure, which in the meaning here was Jesus transfigured and ascended. And they,
oh, I see. They don't want you to do that.
And they don't want you to be doing that. That's reserved for the good guys.
I got you.
And others refer to this as the force and control of ego. Ego trying to aggrandize yourself. Don't do that. But you're doing that transfiguration all the time. Every moment you are, no matter what you are doing, you are only transfiguring everything.
So we transfigure sound waves into an electronic image in our brain.
That's right. That's still only transfiguring. When you really get to understand this, you find out, well, really quick, everything is only transfiguring.
Right down to the cellular level.
That's right. The only difference is that you get to transfigure by choice, whereas other things, it's called entropy, in some regards, and in that then it's still transfiguring but doesn't have the choice. You have transfiguration by choice, which means, among other things, you get to choose the constituents. You merely choose the what?
So I can't really do anything about transfiguring per se, but I do.
What do you want to do about it?
not anything necessary. I'm just saying what I, the only thing I can do is the constituents.
Why do you go there?
I don't know.
Why do you go to that negative? Why don't you say, hey, wow, all I got to do is pick the constituents?
I think I'm just getting my head around this whole thing. I didn't think that.
No, but you're getting your head around the negative side of all of this stuff and yourself. You're saying, oh, well, shit, all I can do is pick some damn constituents and hope for the best. Now, I can't do anything about transfiguring. I want to get what I want to get. I can't do that. I have to go through this transfiguring crap. Okay, well, that's the way your life will be. More of the same. How do I get you to then look at this from the great gift or advantages you have? No one has an answer for that one.
Nope. Not yet.
Are we saying then that since the only thing that's going on in the universe is transfiguring, that we have the advantage of being the constituents of that configuration?
For you.
For me.
For you.
A lion doesn't do it. An elephant doesn't do it. Dog doesn't do it.
Well, we don't know that. It could. We don't know whether trees and shrubs and living things, or whether it's only sentient things. And in sentient, does that mean self-aware sentience? I don't know. In a sense, I think it occurs for lions and elephants, dogs and cats, trees and etc. I just won't go there. I'll just keep the talk on to you right now. It seems that you have constructed or resurrected an old self and life that was based on religion and science and on myth and hope and doubts and fears. The question is, isn't it about time for you to see and understand your power of transfiguration and apply that more awarefully in your body and life today?
I guess it is about time, yep.
Or is it that you're too fearful that yourself might collapse to nothingness if you don't continue your old stuff?
I have to say I've had that concern in the past.
Why?
Because I had the sense of that the life that I experienced was held together by everything that I had been doing. In the absence of that, I had no idea what would occur.
Why would you look at the absence of that?
I was being advised to not do that anymore.
Well, let's see if we can take an example from the universe. The universe never abandons a good idea. Never wastes a working principle or process. The universe merely expands and extends those ideas and principles and processes into new and different. I have never said you had to let go of something in order to do something else. I said merely do something else and the other is let go of. But you think you have to change your old ways before, like, you have to get rid of all your judgments and all of your cause and effect ways and all of your beliefs in evolution, transcending, growing, getting bigger, better, and etc. All I'm doing is pushing you to say, when you really, really think about it, which would you rather have? And if from all of this kind of a conversation you say, well, you know, and I think maybe I'll go for that transfiguring stuff, could you not begin living transfiguring and then expand that in your life until the old transcending and getting there from here goes away?
Yep, I could do that.
But you still don't believe that you can do that. Consider that.
I think there's a bit of confusion on my part about what it means to live something new.
Why? You see, you want the answer before you begin. The minute you seek an answer before you begin, you've destroyed the whole transfiguring emergent process for yourself. And all you've then maintained is a cause and effect. That's what I want, so therefore I gotta go for that. Everything else is gone and lost.
Could you illustrate for me living something new?
Living something new?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to do that now in the sense that instead of, let's say, cause and effect, living that you only pick the constituents and pick means you don't just, I'll take some of that and that and that. You pick them by actually living merely the constituents of what you truly desire, and that's who and what you are and what you have, rather than trying to cause what you want.
What would be a constituent worth?
What?
What would be a constituent that someone might want to put into their life?
Would you like to be an eternal being?
Sure. Then I could see and live. Well, I'm going to bugger it up.
What?
Then I just see myself as eternal being and live only that which I would be prepared to live eternally.
See how
it's, that.
You see how simply that works out? You see, what religion has, you get believing in a system. Buddhism, that you're in a system. Islam, in a system, that you must follow the system in order to be worthy enough to be or become an eternal being. And all I've said is, hey, all you have to do is choose the constituents, merely living only those things that you'd be willing as an eternal being to be and live eternally.
I just realized something that I was doing that's probably been a big problem. I've been interpreting that which I would choose to be and live eternally is all too often how I would feel about what I was living.
Yeah, but you're only feeling the consequences.
Yes, that's what I just realized.
And also, this is why I said you make a choice and then you test the choice. You don't go out and say, what is it that I should do that I'd be willing to do eternally? Because that puts you into a cause and effect, destroys your living then this emergent reality.
So could we look at the 8 things on our list of things that that's been done, that I've done, that I'm proud of? Are those examples of constituents that I could be prepared to be and live eternally?
No, what I want you to do is to take the first one. Do you know what the first one was?
In my case, it was being proud of being able to simplify complex issues.
That what?
Of being able to simplify complex issues.
Now, are you proud of that or of yourself?
Actually, I'm proud of that.
You're sure? You're proud of simplifying complex issues?
Yeah, the act in fact of simplifying complex issues.
Then, let's start off with in transfiguring as we talk tonight. Haven't we simplified complex issues?
As a matter of fact, yes.
And if you only pick constituents, doesn't that simplify complex issues?
I must tell you that I'm not entirely sure in this context what a constituent is.
All right. Let's back up for a moment. Are you willing to say that you are a constituent and Masters is a constituent?
Okay, yes, I can say that and see that.
Then, in that regard, how would you view simplifying complex issues?
I think it would be awarefully living in communion, Patrick and Masters.
No. Take the item itself. How would you, Patrick, simplify a complex issue?
I think I would describe its component parts in self-sufficient language and the relationship of the parts.
Then what you would do is you would describe the complexity of the parts.
If I drew together a relationship between the parts, would I still be doing that?
You, as Patrick, following that, are likely to take an issue and see it as complex in order to simplify it.
Then the suggestion is there are no complex issues.
That's what Masters would say. You see, you would complex them in order to simplify them. Masters wouldn't make them complex in the first place.
And so then,
I was going to be talking all night.
What did you say, Andrew?
I just said I think that's what we've been talking about all night. Sorry, go ahead.
So then, awarefully communing with masters would give me facility for talking about it as it is.
What do you mean by as it is?
Well, certainly not complexed up.
But why not?
I'm really confused here. I'm beginning to think I'm proud of something that shit.
No. That's the point of the thing there, in saying, okay, you're then becoming aware of your eternal self. Without your eternal self, you would make it complex in order to simplify it. With your eternal self, you wouldn't complex it in the first place. You would go directly to realizing, oh, we can do this, or that means that.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying then.
Is that okay?
I think so, yes.
So then,
go ahead.
If you don't complex it, is there anything that you need to transcend or resolve as a problem?
No, I guess not, no.
Oh, golly. So that you, in awareness of masters in that regard, when you would tend to complex something or get angry or upset or try to then, how am I going to simplify this, then that stranger in you would start a fresh look at it and not complex it in the first place. From the complexity you could realize without ever making it, I mean, from the issue, not from the complexity, but from the issue, you could realize directly without ever having to complex it, so you could simplify it.
Yeah, I get your point, yes.
You complex it so you can overcome it. Oh, shit, how about that? I transfigured it into simpler form. Why go through all that trouble? So that you can see that when those two, you and masters, like in that issue then, what was your second item? Do you remember what your second item was?
No, I don't.
Oh, all right. When we took those eight items, I said, we'll take the first one as a insipid and say, here is a picture or image of masters in that regard. And in that we would then say, okay, the other seven are a picture of masters, let's say, at work or functioning. How would your life function if you were to go directly to transfiguring an issue rather than complexing it so you could simplify it?
That would be very efficient.
But if you were to take the other seven and put yourself into Here is you complexing to simplify. Here is masters not complexing in the first place, but realizing and going directly to the realization of a thing. The two of you are working together, functioning all of the other seven things. What would that look like?
Yeah. Well, I've said yes, I'd be digging out that list.
And the point of that is to take the first one and say, this is me and Masters working together. I like to complex them so I can simplify them. Masters likes to go to a direct realization of what is occurring.
Yes.
And so you then, from that perspective, could step out of your tendency to complex something so you can simplify it and move directly into Master's position and move directly to realization without having to complex it to get to some kind of a realization.
And oh darn, that's something I would absolutely be prepared to live eternally.
Okay. And then you would take every other one of those seven, the other seven things, and from that context of not complexing, but going directly to realization in that regard, you'd begin to understand that you and Masters together, that what that realization or what is emergent from that in each of the other seven things would be quite revealing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so.
What if, let's change this for a little bit. What if doing this in this way could this in any way show you what a force in life you might be? What an impact you could make in life?
Oh goodness, yes. I can see that.
And from that then, you would say, from that perspective, it would change every concept I have of myself.
Oh my goodness, yes, and that's without even referring to the remaining seven about some other particulars.
But if we then say that just doing that, and from that is a resplendent self, which is merely a constituent of a, let's call it, another transfigured resplendent self. Can you even imagine how that would grow?
I think I'm beginning to see how that was just ripples out.
And as it ripples out in that regard, you would become a, and even be able to then begin to realize that the force or the impact and force of yourself in life is far greater than you ever considered before. Is that a reasonable statement?
That's very much a reasonable statement.
Now, let's suppose from that you were able to look at someone else and not complex it all so you could simplify it, but from all that you see you could merely immediately realize them as an eternal self without then judging or gooding or badding or anything of that nature. Would that make a big difference?
Holy shit, yes, would it ever. Going directly, yes, that'd be so great.
And you never go through good, bad, and indifferent in order to simplify it or to work it out what might be the goodness here or the rightness or the eternalness here, you can go then directly to realization.
Yes, sir.
In other words, if what we're saying is true, is you probably have, in the process of complexing it so you can simplify it, you have blocked your immediate realization. Is that reasonably fair to say?
That is reasonably fair to say, correct.
So that if you then look at this from this perspective, then you can free yourself to realization. Would that be okay?
That'd be fabulous.
What if at the same time you're releasing yourself to realizing others in that process, would you then not be realizing yourself?
Yes, I see how that is coupled closely, yes.
And when I say realizing, you'd be making yourself real in realizing others.
Yes.
And realizing everything, let's say, in the universe in that way, you'd be realizing yourself.
It sure follows. Sure does.
And in that, then, you... Wait a minute. Let me think for a minute. Is it possible that moving directly to that realization of the force and power of yourself would be creative?
Moving towards... Oh, okay, sure, yes.
And that then complexing it so you can simplify it is actually destructive.
Oh, it is. I see. Now I got this image that my complexing is like throwing up a whole bunch of static in front of me and then trying to sort through the static.
You see? And so when the two of you are in working together so that you can go immediately, sure, it's a good talent you have, sometimes you may need it just to explain to other people. But for you, would you not really like to go directly to realization, collect $200?
Yeah. Yes, I would like that very much.
And would that not be constructive?
It would be super constructive.
And if you went directly to realization, is it not likely that you would then have an image of your realization?
Yes.
And that you could
you
could describe your image.
I can actually can see that is something that would follow, yes.
But that if you try to use your language to get to realization, you can't.
That's one of the things that's getting very clear in this piece of the conversation.
So that you can language only then to a certain point, then you must drop off of language to realize. So that Pat can language, but at a certain point, very early on, you have to drop off of Pat and languaging and take on the mantle of masters and realizing.
That is so neat, yes.
So you have to step out of yourself and into masters.
Absolutely.
And that's what the 43 things are about, to try to get you then to step out of yourself that you're so afraid of losing when you do that. Step out of yourself and to step into Master's, and then begin seeing what you and your life are all about.
Yes, sir.
Well, okay, there's some more stuff for tonight, but we won't go over that. That's left in the Paracope. Next week, we'll start with our 40-odd things, 43 things, whatever it is, and see then if maybe we can give you ways to practice stepping out. Once you understand Masters, or have an image of that, like we did tonight, begin to step out of Patrick and into Masters so that you function together, and in that emergent is a resplendent self. Because if you step into Masters and realize, then you step back into Pat, to make that what you realize real.
That's why it needs to be together.
That's why it needs to be together. And what is emergent or resplendent from that is just the beginning. Is that okay?
That's pretty damn okay, yep.
Okay, well then bring that with you, because next week, along with your the thing I sent out, and we'll discuss those things one at a time. And in that light, we'll leave it for now.